again. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The authors of They Came to Work in the Woods are with us, a pictorial history of Civilian Conservation Corps Company 1608. Let me read you the intro, because for those of you who are not familiar with this history, this is a remarkable project that was taking place all over the country. When FDR became president, the country, of course, was in a very, very deep depression with huge numbers of people having absolutely no jobs. So the president asked Congress to establish, according to the beginning of the book, the Emergency Conservation Work Act, more commonly known as the Civilian Conservation Corps. And the purpose was that of relieving the acute condition of widespread distress and unemployment existing in the United States. So there were thousands and thousands of young men who were brought to camp-like, army-like facilities. There were many of them here in the state of Wisconsin. They learned how to do work, and they did a lot of work. They also learned some trades, and they had education time as well. Thousands of unemployed young men recruited and enrolled, which I guess you could say was sort of a peacetime army. And it makes you wonder, maybe that's an answer to some of the problems we're having now in Milwaukee and elsewhere in the country. We'll ask our guests about that. At any rate, we have two guests with us, and they are the co-authors of the aforementioned book. Scott and James Henderson are with us, and I think that you'll find it a fascinating history to read. It's very complete. James Henderson, Dr. James Henderson, is a retired veterinarian, a biomedical researcher, and he's author of three books, including another book about the Civilian Conservation Corps camp, this one in Crow Wing County, Minnesota, Crow Wing Country, rather. Scott Henderson, his son, is an Oneida County forest land owner. He's a woodsman, an avid hunter, a fisherman, and developed an interest some time ago in learning more about the history of Camp Tomahawk, located in Wisconsin. We'll be welcoming phone calls for both of our guests, and here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Jim and Scott, thank you very much for being with us. You know, as I was, and it's so well documented, I'm thinking about the vision that FDR had that became a reality. I mean, here's a guy who walked into office. Describe what it was like. How many people were unemployed, and more about what he wanted to do. Jim, you want to start?
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. Well, in 1933, FDR became president in March, and literally there were thousands, maybe millions, of unemployed young men. There was really a lot of concern about potential unrest, not unlike maybe what we see today. Mm-hmm. And so the federal government decided to establish this huge social program, which later became known as the CCC. Men 17 to 23 initially could sign up. And of course, what you have to understand is that there were no safety nets at that time. There was no, if you were unemployed, you were essentially unemployed. There really was no relief program like we have today. So these camps were very welcome. And a unique feature of the camp was that each of these enrollees, as they were called, was paid $30 a month, of which $25 went back to their home, either to their guardian or to their parents. And that $25 carried many, many, many families on through until the program ended towards the end of the Depression.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, tell me about Tomahawk. I know you were interested. You wanted to do a book about Camp Tomahawk. Why that particular one? And does any of it survive now that you saw and thought, oh, I wonder what this was?
Right. Yeah, there is stuff that's still out there.
Is there?
Some concrete foundation. There's a marker where they had a
where the camp was located?
Yeah, where the camp entrance was located. What kind of got me involved was reading my dad's book, Lost in the Woods. And after reading that book, I said, you know, there's a marker out there. Hmm. And so I did a little bit more digging into it. And several years later, we came
and here's
with
the book.
Yeah.
And there were quite a few camps. I didn't realize how many there were in the state of Wisconsin, weren't there?
Yeah. Yes, there were. And they went up very quickly, too. In 1933, the very first camp built in Wisconsin was erected in April. And then by the time Camp Tomahawk came around in November of that year, there were 58 camps. So, and the Army, the Army was building these camps. And they had a kind of a type structure, a particular style. So if you, and each of these camps held about 250 men. So, there were like, similar components in each camp.
Mm-hmm.
You had a mess hall and you had barracks and so on and so on. But it was amazing how fast the Army could mobilize.
Yes. Yes, it was. That's astounding. And the work that was done, tell me a little bit more about the Tomahawk area, Scott. What's up there? What's the land like? And the kinds of jobs that these young men did?
Well, they did a lot of reforestation projects, fighting fires. There was a wide variety of things that they did. Telephone lines they put in. They did a lot of tree clearing, blister rust prevention. So a lot of it was the reforestation, mm-hmm. part of it. They did a lot of road clearing, fire lanes, fire tower, man fire towers.
Mm-hmm.
They kept busy. Sure.
Yeah, it sounds like they were busy from the time they got up until the time they went to sleep. And they were recruited from mostly Wisconsin? Were there some from Chicago area who came?
Yes. Yes, the original company, first of all, the CCC organization was organized in a company structure. There were nine core areas throughout the United States. And Wisconsin was in the 6th Corps, and then you had various areas within the each of these corps. Wisconsin was a sub-district in District 6. Company 1608 was originally formed at Fort Sheridan in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And then they initially got sent to Independence, Wisconsin during that summer of 33, where they did soil erosion control work. Then when fall came on, they built this camp in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. They started construction in late September and 1st of October. And then by end of November, they were about ready to move in. So then they changed projects. And like Scott indicated, they were involved in forest conservation and so on. The forest conservation work was done in a lot of other camps as well. The bulk of these camps were called state forest camps. And so each camp had a designated number. And for the 1608 Camp Tomahawk number was S80-84. And the S standing for state. And then there were camps that were state park camps, and then there were national park camps as well. And most of as we said before, the Army ran the camps, but they weren't in charge of the daily work activities. The daily work activities were operated by what was called the Wisconsin Conservation Department. The Wisconsin Conservation Department now is known as the DNR.
Mm-hmm. And there was also a lot of education. So you were learning on the job, of course. You were learning a skill.
Yeah.
But you were also learning more specific skills because you went to school at night, right?
Correct.
At the camp,
yep.
Which is amazing.
You bet.
What kind of education, Scott, were they receiving at night?
Well, they did a lot of reading, writing.
Yeah.
You know, those were obviously some of the main things that they did.
And they hired teachers so that there were teachers who were employed through this as well. Public speaking, I think.
Yes.
One of them was public speaking, too,
oh, yeah.
And radio. I noticed radio was
being
taught.
Yeah, radio, and particularly ham radio, was a big thing amongst the camps. Huh. And they could then communicate that way. Because also, in those at that time, there were very few telephone lines between cities. And in fact, the many of the camps, including Camp Tomahawk, were involved in telephone line construction. But those jobs the phone lines principally connected fire towers with the DNR headquarters, Forest Protection headquarters, that was located in Tomahawk.
Mm-hmm.
So they could communicate between the fire towers and the people in the city, who then could deploy the trucks and stuff necessary for firefighting. And they did have a number of fires during the time period that the camp was in operation.
Hmm.
So, people today don't really probably realize that in the 1870s and 1880s, that's when the northern forests were logged off. And so basically in that operation, they just basically took the trunks of the trees out, and all the rest of the material, which was called slash, was left laying on the forest floor.
Hmm.
And tremendous fire hazard when that would dry out.
Imagine.
And of course, in those days, most of the fires got started by lightning. Rarely would you see somebody actually willfully start a forest fire. And so it could burn literally forever if you couldn't get out there. And so that also led to them doing road building. And so a lot of the roads that go out into the forest land today up in northern Wisconsin particularly were originally CCC built fire lanes.
Mm-hmm. Truck trails.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And then they did a lot of drilling for wells, for pumps, and so they had water access. And
who decided what all work was going to be done? Did it come from Washington, from the direct administrator of the whole program, or were states left in charge of what it was that all these people were going to be doing?
I think there was a combination of both. They did have federally directed projects, but most of them were done at the state level, like lake and stream improvement. They were very involved with trying to improve the fishing capabilities of a lot of the lakes in the area. And so as we feature in the book a few pictures of these large brush piles of twigs and branches that they would put together in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Fish cribs.
Right, for fish cribs.
Mm-hmm.
And they chop a hole through the ice and...
Hmm.
Sink them down with sandbags filled with with sandbags underwater, and then that would really improve the spawning for fish in various lakes.
Hmm. Our phone lines are jammed. A lot of people know about all of this and had family members participate in CCC programs. So let me just jump ahead for a moment because I'm interested in the audience's response to this too. When you look at what happened in Milwaukee over the weekend and the number of people who are unemployed in this city, particularly African-American community, it seemed to me as though on a national level, if somebody could revive a program like this on a smaller kind of scope, you could teach so many people, how to read and write and skills and doing work in communities to rebuild the infrastructure, and it might be a very good thing. Would you agree that maybe we need a revival on some level of the CCC?
I think, the answer to the question, of course, is yes. But I think that in planning something like this, what you people have to know is that the children of the 1930s are not the same as the children of the 2016s.
Mm-hmm.
The kids then were hungry, and many of them were underweight because literally They were living on a starvation diet, you know.
Yeah.
There was great incentive for them to go into a camp and
clothes.
Participate. They got fed, clothed. It was a tremendous opportunity to further their education, too, because many of them may only have had an eighth grade education.
And some couldn't read, right?
And many were illiterate.
Yeah.
And so, today, we do have an organization in Wisconsin called WISCOR Incorporated, and it's located out of La Crosse. And they're actually, I can give you the website. It's called WISCOR.org, and you can go there and
find out more. Let's welcome phone calls. We have many people calling in. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The co-authors of They Came to Work in the Woods, a pictorial history of Civilian Conservation Corps Company 1608. Scott and James Henderson are with us in our studios in Milwaukee, and we'll be with you in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to phone calls for Jim and Scott. Martin in Fort Atkinson. Hi. Martin, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, yeah. Martin. Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was interested in this your program today, because I was a member of the Civilian Conservation Corps in 1933 and 34.
Oh, great. Where were you, Martin?
I was at northwest of Three Lakes and east of Eagle River. It's on the Butternut Franklin Road. It's just north of Old Military Road. And my company was Company 641, 9 Mile, Camp 9 Mile, Company 641. And we're just south, a little bit, a couple of miles from Butternut Franklin Lake.
And what work did you do?
I was in the Nicolet National Forest.
Oh, right. And what work did you do, Martin?
Well, I did a lot of jobs. I my first job was planting trees.
Hmm.
With the pines with a spice over the burnt over land that he was talking about, the flash burning and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of my first jobs. And then I worked with a surveyor. We had about six forest rangers with our camp, and one ranger was a surveyor. And I worked with a surveyor and another kid whose name was Bobby Hopkins. Him and I, we went through, surveyed a road for fire lane, actually, because we had from our camp, we had to go clear down to Crandon and then back up to Phelps to fight fires.
Hmm.
And that was they built a fire lane straight across over from Eagle River to Phelps. And it mattered, we got onto it on Old Military Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked with him, and we was and surveyed the line to go through there, through the woods where he cut the trees and stuff down. There's a lot of second growth and scrub stuff to be cut out, you know.
Yeah. Was it a worthwhile experience for you, Martin? Are you glad you did this?
Yeah. I tell you, I was glad to get a job, paid a little more money. When I was 20 years old, the only work I could get, I was working on a farm like 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, milking cows and cleaning barns and feeding cattle. And in the summertime, we were planting plants, corn and or grain and stuff. Then I was getting, in the summertime, I got $6 a month in my board and room.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wintertime, he said, well, they couldn't afford to pay me. I could stay and work for my board and room. Well, I worked for two summers for $6 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
That was like $36 a year.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, that's how I would buy their clothes. And then,
yeah, I need to hold you there, Martin, just because we have many calls coming in and I want our guests to respond. Life was hard, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
Goodness.
But that's common, you know, about the fires and, you know, with the northern area of Wisconsin. Seems to be a common kind of a thing that they did.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to remember the CCC was quite a positive type deal where thereafter with World War II,
mm-hmm.
which kind of got them ready for that in a way. But, yeah, you know, the interviews that I've had with people that are still alive that were in the camp have all been really positive and, you know, for the education, the clothing, the food, the working. And money did go home, too.
Right.
You know, that not only did they make money themselves, but they would send home money also.
Yeah. And they were so popular, you write in the book, Jim, that at one point FDR wanted to close it down, and there was a public outcry saying, no, don't close these camps down.
Yeah, that's right. That really sort of justification for how well the program was functioning, how well people liked it. The local communities, I mean, began to be economically dependent on those camps because the camps would buy
milk
supplies.
And, yeah.
Yeah, locally.
Sure, I'm sure that's true.
And so they continued on funding it, and Congress actually continued funding it through 1941. One of the interesting things is, too, is the CCC operation really never was, in a sense, disbanded. It was just unfunded.
Hmm.
And for lack of money, it just kind of went away. But by that time, you know, so many young men were being drafted into the Army,
right,
and so on for the upcoming war. But it lasted essentially 9 years.
Mm. And what happened at the camps, Scott? Do you know, were they destroyed, or were some of them still
there? Well, some of the buildings were sold or auctioned off. Some of them, you know, went to areas where we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the buildings, there's a couple log cabin structures that are private residents.
Hmm.
That are still in existence today in Tomahawk area.
Hmm.
So when it, you know, closed down, slowly but surely buildings were sold off and went to different areas.
Mm-hmm. Martin, thanks very much for your account, your historical account. I'm glad you were listening. Thomas in Madison is next. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Thank you for the show. It's just wonderful, wonderful. It's a piece of history that I have so much interest in.
Good.
My dad was in the CCC. I am going to be 70 years old this coming December, so I'm at a point in my life when I have time to do some research, and I've tried and tried and tried to find out about his CCC background. So I have a question for your authors. If there's a place I can go in Wisconsin, I know I was at the camp with my dad when I was a boy. We were hunting grouse in northern Wisconsin, and we walked the camp, and I recall that it was quite an emotional experience for him. He really had to sit down and kind of regather himself on that trip. It brought back a lot of memories, but I don't know where the camp was. I'd really like to go and walk that land again.
I'm sure you would.
Is there a way that I can find out? Is there a list or anything that would tell me where he was? He was 20 years old when he went in. I know it was extremely helpful for their family. His dad had died. He was he had to quit school. He quit and didn't do his senior year in high school and went to work. So when the CCC came along, it was a real boost.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him talking about the money and the clothes and being able to send money home to Grandma and his sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wonderful program. And I agree with you that I think we should look at this again. We've got so many people that could benefit from this kind of a program. I spent the day yesterday in Watertown at the Riverfest Festival. I was in a park that was built by the CCC people.
Oh, interesting.
Eau Claire, where I grew up, Carson Park and Rodden Gun Park were both built by the CCC.
Mm-hmm.
You can recognize the beautiful stonework. It's still standing. It's a living memorial to what these men did and to the program that FDR introduced.
Mm. Thomas, thanks for the call. We'll see if we can get some help.
Well, I think that one thing that you can do, first of all, there is a list of all of the CCC camps in Wisconsin. And while I don't have the email address directly in front of me here, there is an organization called the CCC Legacy Incorporated, and they are, I think, a Washington-based organization that we are a member of. And they have a website that where you can go and find the CCC camps by state.
Oh.
The flip side, too, is that if you contact Scott, he can send you a list by email.
Okay.
And his email address is 2424McCord, that's McCord, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And
2424McCord at gmail.com.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
And we'd be happy, also, we'd be interested if the viewer has any, or if the listener has any old photographs that his dad may have had of the CCCs. We're, of course, most particularly interested in photographs of Camp Tomahawk. But
mm-hmm.
One of the things that when you begin a writing project like this, when you essentially start with nothing, you know, you have to, each person that you talk to, you ask about the photographs.
Right.
And it is surprising the photographs that Scott was able to turn up, not only the photographs, but the fact that the photographs were identified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think to yourself, you see an old photograph, if you don't know anybody in the photograph, it doesn't mean a lot to you. But many of these men were so attached to their buddies and stuff that they would identify who they were, and that was very helpful.
I was amazed how well documented it was. You have pictures of somebody, you know who all the people are, you knew who the people were, yeah, were teaching and who was employed,
yeah,
there and everything. It's,
well,
great.
And that's the fun of the scavenger hunt kind of a deal, you know. We're meeting people and,
right,
you know, one thing leads to another and,
right,
one road goes down to another road.
Exactly. Then you've got a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Thomas, so much for your call. We go to Mark next in Rochester, Minnesota. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, to the authors, the book is brilliant and really well executed. I just recently finished reading it.
Oh.
In fact, I hope it's still available and selling well so your listeners can get it. I have two questions. One is that I understand from the book that there was a higher rate of pay that the Conservation Corps members received, and I was just wondering if versus the military troops, and I was just wondering if that created any animosity or resentment among the enlisted troops. And then the second question, then I can hang up and listen, is there's a current program called the California Conservation Corps. It also goes by CCC, and I was just wondering if that's related in any way to the original CCC program, maybe like the Wisconsin Corps is. So.
California that's going on now?
Yes, that's a current program that's going on now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
well, the answer is, last question first, all of those kinds of state-level organizations kind of operate under what's called the AmeriCorps umbrella, and it's all private.
Mm-hmm.
And the California program, very similar to the Wisconsin program. I think we need to take a hard look at what those folks are doing and maybe reinitiate some things at the federal level because they worked.
Yeah, it sounds like they really worked.
Yeah.
And
was
the issue, expensive? Was this program a lot of money from the federal budget?
You mean
the whole civilian conservation
Corps? At the time that...
Right.
Well, I guess in those days you measured think costs in the millions of dollars, but I think we certainly got our money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
His other question relative to the military... yes, there was a difference. A private first class, I think at that time, was getting $22, maybe $23 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Board and room, of course, with that. And while the CCC boys were getting $30.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly certain. I think the difference there might have been, although I'm not 100% certain, the CCC boys had to send. It was not voluntary. It was. They had to send back $25 back to their guardian or parents.
Right.
So they only got to keep $5. Now the Army recruits did not have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess at the end of the day, how much money you had left to spend is more what counts. But there was some differences. Amongst the
sure.
individuals.
Right. One of the stories I came across talking to one of the guys that was in the camp is that they would have a boxing ring on the north end of the camp. And if they had any, you know, skirmishes or any disputes, they typically took it out that
really?
Way.
Really?
Yeah.
They'd go box?
So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to hear some of those stories.
Huh. And you even have a record of those people who got in trouble, but there weren't very many. I was amused
yes.
by
yeah,
somebody stole
out.
A bowling ball somewhere.
Yeah, yeah in town.
yeah.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah, there were a few criminal issues. Of course, in those days, not necessarily interesting. I mean, there were no drug problems
right.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So... more issues with girls than there were with...
issues with girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And occasionally, because they weren't supposed to have a car in camp,
mm-hmm.
if they were found to have a car, they could be dishonorably discharged.
Oh.
And so that happened a few times.
Huh.
And they did have a couple of deaths in the camp. One was due to a drowning,
mm-hmm.
Where they were, of course, the kids were told not to swim in the river, and one of them got in there and couldn't get out, and so that was a problem. And they had one boy died from a kidney infection, but apart from that, you know, everything was in good shape. They did, the enrollees spent a lot of time in the summer looking for lost people. One of the things that I was really surprised, and one will read about it in the book, but there were a lot of people that simply walked away into the woods and they were never seen again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? Huh. We have this email from Lauren. Were African Americans ever involved in the CCC?
Yes. Yes, they were. Camp Tomahawk had two African-American boys, both from Georgia, and they were at Camp Tomahawk for 6 months. A term of service lasted 6 months, then you could re-up for subsequent terms. Two of those boys were there for one term, and then they got transferred to a camp down in Illinois.
Hmm.
Most of the camps that had larger numbers of African Americans at that time it was a segregated system.
Mm-hmm.
The military was segregated at that time, of course. So that's the way that existed. There were camps, of course, not only for young men, but there were camps for Army veterans, World War I veterans that were unemployed. So, women were not included in the CCC.
Mm-hmm.
They could belong to the National Youth Corps and things like that, but
not the CCC.
Not the CCC.
Mark, thanks so much for your call. Patricia in Madison, hi.
Hi there. I'm fortunate enough to live in Madison, and the UW Arboretum had a Camp Madison with the CCC Corps there. And there were originally 10 barracks, wooden barracks, and there is one barrack left, and the company bathhouse is left.
Oh.
And every now and then, the Arboretum provides free tours that you can go into those remaining buildings. And back in 2010, they celebrated the 75th anniversary of Camp Madison.
Hmm.
Men came there in 1935, and the gentleman just said about a limited of 6 months of service, but from what I remember 6 years ago, I think they said you could have like a cumulative 2 years of service. Anyway, camps printed newspapers, and they at that ceremony that I had gone to, they passed around some of these old newspapers, and I believe that they were information on camps throughout the state, not just the one in Madison.
Hmm.
So camp newspapers, Camp Tomahawk was the camp newspaper at Tomahawk, and I have quite a few that I've come across in our collection.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in that newspaper, they did, for the most part, specifically talk about Camp Tomahawk. But they talked about the ongoings of, you know, in the barracks, what were going on, what kind of work things they were doing. So out of those camp newspapers, there was quite a bit of information that we learned for the book.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite helpful.
Great. Thank you, Patricia, for your call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment. We're talking this hour with the authors of They Came to Work in the Woods, a pictorial history of Civilian Conservation Corps Company 1608, which was located in near Tomahawk. And we're doing a broader investigation of all of these conservation camps that were all over the country and employed thousands and thousands of young men who were unemployed during the depths of the Depression. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. We'll take more phone calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to phone calls, we go to Fred in Michigan. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm looking forward to the book. I really need to read that, and kudos to your guys that are doing it. Listen, I was a part of the YCC, the Youth Conservation Corps, back in 1964.
Mm.
And we built a camp up at State House Lake in Manitowish Waters.
Mm.
And at that time, it was run by a professor who was an ex-drill sergeant in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to run the camp when Marge Reynolds, our WAC cook, was not there. She lived up in Mercer. She drove home every night. So the joke was when she ran it when he wasn't there. But anyhow, Marge was a tough old gal. She could be gentle as a lamb. And she could also curse the paint off the wall. I was there for, it was supposed to be a split season. And Ma Reynolds and I, we pulled KP, and I was 17, and as a young guy, I did a little cooking at home. Parents were gone most of the time, but anyhow, her and I got along great, and her guidance and what I learned in that camp helped me out through my military life. Plus, she put on about 15 pounds on me through the summer, and I had a great high school and college football career.
Oh my gosh!
As a result of that, but we started out with surplus army tents and surplus bunk beds and all that. Now the camp still exists. The tents we put up are gone, but the mess hall is still there, and concrete report. We poured for the base of the tents. They built wooden structures over the top of that. Now it's called the Discovery Center.
Mm-hmm.
And and it still exists. So I was just wondering if these guys knew anything about what happened to that program, and if that was also defunded, or because I thought it was a big part of my life. And a last note that I've got to tell you about: I tried to run down Ma Reynolds for years and years. I moved up here about 10 years ago after I retired. Could not find the woman, and I was just did banking in my home city, and they had they have another bank up here in Hurley. I went in there, and my new personal banker is Ma Reynolds' granddaughter.
Oh my gosh, isn't that something?
Talk about deja vu.
Exactly.
We're going to get together and share some pictures, I guess, as time goes on. But yeah. I guess my question for these guys is, whatever happened to that program?
I thought it was. Okay, we'll try and find out. Thanks, Fred, for your reminiscences and question. Do you know about that program?
He mentioned it as a national youth.
YCC, he called it.
YCC.
Youth Conservation Corps, I guess.
Yeah.
No.
Not real familiar with it, but I am familiar with Camp Manitowish Waters.
Oh.
There was a YMCA camp up there for many years, and actually while we were investigating where all the buildings and things went after the disposition of the camp stuff, the water tower was very interesting to us, because they built this water tower in 1939, and then, you know, shortly thereafter it was gone. Well, we didn't know exactly what year it was taken down, nor did we know what happened to it, but we were able to discover that it was bought by the people that ran the Camp Manitowish Waters in Boulder River.
Boulder Junction.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure whether that actually is the same area that the caller's referring to, but it reminded me, you know, we tracked down. It took us years to figure out where all the various pieces of the camp went.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thanks very much for your call. We go to Carolyn in Shorewood next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I just wanted to say how timely it is to have this program, given that it's the centennial of the National Park Service. And people are visiting the parks in record numbers this summer. And all over the country, one can see evidence of the wonderful work the CCC did. So I thought it was something I'd like to mention.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thanks very much for the call. Is there a guide? I would think that there must be, to nationally, if you're doing traveling all over the country, of remnants of CCC camps or projects that CCC participants did, artwork or trails, or can you find those?
Yes, CCC art is quite interesting. We got interesting trying to collect some of those things from the 1930s, and they're kind of few and far between. There's a local Wisconsin artist that is deceased now, but his name is Tom Roust. R-O-S-T. He was an illustrator for the Journal for a number of years. And he drew a number of illustrations of the CCC camps in Estabrook Park and in other parks in the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm.
I would contact again the CCC Legacy organization out in Washington. They can provide lists of the various national parks, of course, that had camps.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's wanting to visit all the various national parks, in Minnesota, there's a beautiful example of CCC architecture at Gooseberry Falls State Park up on the north shore of Lake Superior. Tremendous stonework. And the thing is, when you see those things, everything from fireplaces to the, large headquarter buildings and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and you think about the educational level of the boys or young men that were involved in building this. Of course, they had excellent, foremen and supervisors, but with a little direction, man, they could build great things.
Yeah, isn't that... Yeah.
And limited tools, you know? I mean, it's not like today.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's, they must have had very good teachers.
Yeah.
Let's go. Thanks, Carolyn, for that reminder. Corey is next in Ashland. Hi, Corey.
Hello.
Hi, Corey.
Hi. I'm calling from Ashland. I just turned 34, and I just wanted to comment about when I was younger, right out of high school, we had a program called the WCC, and the way it worked was, you know, we did a lot of the same things that you guys were talking about. We planted trees and, you know, work in the woods. And if you could complete the program without missing so much work, that they would actually pay for a large portion of your schooling if you wanted to go on to a college or, you know, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So, and I just thought it was a really good program, and I wish that that was still.
Is that what you did, Corey? You went in the program and then went on to school?
Yes. Yep.
Great.
Well, that's good to hear, Corey. I think that, you know, the WISCOR organization today is really kind of a descendant of the WCC that, that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those kinds of programs are in existence. I encourage anybody that, you know, is interested in conservation and learning some new life skills or whatever to look into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you going to do more of these? You've already done two on the camps. Are you going to, is there another camp in Wisconsin or somewhere else that really has you phenomenally interested and you're going to say, hey, let's do another book?
I'm still learning. Last week I found another member of the camp in Tomahawk area.
Oh, you did?
So this one's still kind of ongoing, actually.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not. So
maybe a second edition.
Yeah, maybe so. There, people must be getting pretty old who are in the camp in 1933,
late
80s, right?
Late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Corey, very much for your call, and we have time for maybe one more call. Bill in Appleton. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Bill.
Just a second here. Hello?
Hi, Bill.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Well, Dad was in the CCCs, and if he were alive today, he would be 98. Now, one of the fellas that called before was, you know, wanting to see some of the stuff and read about it, but there's a camp that's actually set up over in Frederick, Michigan, and that's like 30, 40 miles below the bridge, you know, in the lower.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was in the CCCs in... the upper and the lower, and I mean, they did so much good for the country. They, I mean, there were, you know, areas that where they had stripped the forest, and there were blowouts where there was nothing left but sand, and of course the fires, you know,
right,
that, and I believe they stopped a lot of riots and stuff like that in the city that would have happened too.
Mm-hmm.
Dad loved it in the CCCs, and of course he was prepared when it came time for him to go in the Army. He was pretty well prepared for that.
I would imagine it prepared many people for service. Thank you so much for the call. We have go to our Facebook page, too, the Kathleen Dunn Show. I'll show both of you, Jim and Scott, that somebody's posted a CCC dynamite shack that's still standing near Sealy, Wisconsin. It's really quite a picture. It's in. It's there's nothing. It's there. It's like it could have been built yesterday. So, and here's somebody who wanted to know if you could brief. We won't even ask you this because we're out of time. I'm sorry. It was about the writers. Project, but we'll talk about that in another program. Lots and lots of interest in this. I'm so happy the people who had their fathers and some people who were actually in the project called in today. Thank
Excellent.
You. And the book is available?
Yep. You can get it. Again, I gave you the email.
Okay.
You get a signed copy there.
Signed copy.
No extra money.
All right, 2424mccord@gmail.com.
That's
right.
It.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Scott, thank you. The book is They Came to Work in the North Woods, A Pictorial History of Civilian Conservation Corps Company, 1601. James and Scott, 1608, sorry, James and Scott Henderson, our guests this hour. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing the hour, and to Carrie Salinas for on-air production. And thanks to her. She's been our intern for some months now and has done a great job and is going back to her senior year in Eau Claire. So we wish her all the best. She'll do A-OK. Thanks for listening.